of yesterday, two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim as to how to understand the lack thereof between the two machloks and between Beshan and Beisela. So we know the Gemara documents for us in Gimel and Aleph, there were two machloks in between Beshan and Beisela. One concerning the Heftza, the size, the minimum shear of a sukkah. According to Beis Hillel, the minimum shear of a sukkah is 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. According to Misham, it's 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. And the second machlok like this was, if a person sitting in a very, very big sukkah, the sukkah is for sure kshayra, but I choose to sit at the very edge of the sukkah, and my shulchan, my table is outside the sukkah, are we afraid that Shem Yim Shechach HaShulchanah? Do we make a gzeir drabonon that I may come to lean, may end up eating outside my sukkah, and therefore I can't even be yotzei if I'm in my sukkah, because gzeir is Shem Yim Shechach HaShulchanah? So there's a dual machlokes Beshan and Beis Hillel, and there was a question in Rishonim whether the two machlokes are identical to one another. So the Rif took the approach in that sugyah. That's one issue. The issue as to what the size of the sukkah is a din derabbanan. It's a question derabbanan. Everyone agrees that in a Torah the size of the sukkah is 6x6, except for Rabbi Danasi. Everyone except for Rabbi Danasi agrees that it's 6x6. That's the shear of a derabbanan. Bishambi insisted on the 7th tefach to avoid the gezeirah of Shem Yishim Shachar Shachana. Beis Hillel didn't subscribe to his gezeirah, didn't require the 7th tefach. That was the Rif's understanding. And the Balamor disagreed. Balamor says no. The machlek is whether or not you need a 7th tefach. That's machlek on a love of deraisa in terms of the size of a dira. According to Bishama, without a table in there, without the possibility of a table in there, that's a dira srucha. It's not even a dira that's sufficient on a love of deraisa. Whether or not there's a gezeirah derabbanan of being Yim Shachar Shachana, that's a different machlek. That's another issue. The two have nothing to do with each other. Therefore, the Balamor split the psach halach, and he said that we paskin, we're forced, we're stuck to follow Beishamai vis-a-vis the Shal of Deraisa. And after Gemara says Beferish and Daf Gimel that we follow Beishamai. Whether or not we follow Beishamai about the Gezerah, why should we follow Beishamai? Beishamai Beisila, Halakha Beisila. So we don't follow Beishamai's Gezerah later on the second parent. So that was the Machlekes, the Rift of the Balamor, we spent a lot of time on yesterday. So it comes out that according to the Rift, there's one issue, it's an issue of the Rabbanan. According to the Balamor, there are really two different issues. So both the Rif and the Balamor have to address the pivotal Gemara, and that's the Gemara of Zayin Rebeis. So the Gemara of Zayin Rebeis is a famous Gemara where Abaye lists off all the Tanoim who subscribe to the idea that Sukkah is a Diras Keva. They're not all saying the same thing. Some Tanoim are addressing one aspect of Sukkah, others are addressing the other aspect. But at the end of the day, there's a common denominator, a Kulu Sfirlu, that Sukkah is Diras Keva. And on that list is the opinion of Beis Shammai, the view that you need 7x7 Tefachim. So how do we understand that Gemara in light of this Machlokes of Rishonim? So according to the Rif, the Chayr this Gemara is not comprehensible. According to the Rif, the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel has absolutely nothing under the sun to do with Diras Arai versus Diras Keva. Everybody agrees, in a sense, that it's a Diras Arai. Everyone agrees that Min HaTorah 6 Tvachim is sufficient. The only necessity for the 7th Tefach has nothing to do with Diras Keva. It's a Gezeirah D'Rabbanan, Shamim Shechach HaShulchanai. So why in the world does Abaye lump together Beis Shammai Shita with the other Tanoim who are addressing some kind of a din deraisa of Diras Keva versus Diras Arai? So according to the Rif, the Gemara Mamish doesn't make any sense. The Emet says even according to the Balamor, the Gemara is very, very difficult for the following reason. That according to the Balamor, true, one of the machloks in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel has nothing to do with Diras Keva, but the other one does. Namely, the fact that you need an extra tefach. So that smacks a little bit of Diras Keva, Diras Arai. Now, the truth to be told, even according to the Balamor, it's not perfect because real Diras Keva, the ultimate Diras Keva, in terms of size of a sukkah, is really Rabbi Danasi Shita of Dalad Amos by Dalad Amos. And Rabbi Danasi happens to appear on that list also. So when the Gemara says that Rabbi Danasi and Beis Shammai both hold Diras Keva, clearly the Gemara is using a very, very loose definition of Diras Keva. Diras Keva just means that you need a higher level, you need a more than just a bare minimum dira of some of the weaker opinions in Tanoim. So Beis Hillel says, you don't need any diras kev, you don't need any six tvachim, you don't even need a lack of diras serucha, you can have a miserable diras serucha, and that's good enough according to Beis Hillel. So Abaye is listing off all the Tanoim who don't go that far. Now different Tanoim use different gradations, or different dargas of just how much we disagree with Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai said, you need a diras keva. Now, between you and me, it's not a real Diras Keva. It means it's more of a Keva than Beis Hillel's Diras Arai. And Rabbi Danasi says you need a real bona fide Diras Keva of Dalad Amos. So at least according to the Balamor, we can quetch a little bit in the Gemara. That the term Diras Keva, maybe we wouldn't have used that terminology that Abaye used, but at least we can hear where Abaye is coming from. But the problem is that according to the Balamor, even though we could almost push ourselves, be doichi ourselves into the Lashon HaGemara, once we enter into the world of Psach Halacha, it becomes very problematic. Because according to the Baal HaMor, we have to follow Beis Shammai. The Halacha, we're forced to follow Beis Shammai, but how could we follow Beis Shammai? If Beis Shammai is on the list of the dearest Keva people, we have a rule, we have a principle from the Gaonim, that whenever the Amoraim list off the Shita Nemru, whenever they list off, these 10 Tanoim hold the following Shita, that means these 10 and nobody else, and we don't follow like that, like those 10. Let's say the Gaon has a Maseches Kedushin, the following 10 Tanoim hold, you can sell a Dovah Shlo Bo Yolam. That's tantamount to saying, we don't follow that Shita. So too over here, if the Gemara rattles off Beis Shammai on the list of dearest Keva people, that's another way of saying we don't follow that. We already had that. Who remembers when we had that? When did we have a proof of that Gemara about that we don't follow like a certain Tana there? Rabbi Yehuda, right? Remember the first sugya. Rabbi Yehuda, the one who said that a sukkah above 20 amos is good, was because Rabbi Yehuda bought into dearest Keva to some degree. So the Rishonim brought a raya from that Gemara of Zion that we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda. So la halacha, we're not going to follow any person on that list. The problem is, but Beis Shammai is on the list. And we have to follow Beis Shammai because the Gemara Dav Gimel says you have to follow Beis Shammai. So that Gemara Dav Zayin is a very, very difficult one. No matter where you turn, that Gemara doesn't seem to read smoothly. So according to the Rif, that Gemara doesn't seem to read at all. Because according to the Rif, the Nekudas of Achleikis B'Shah B'Silal has absolutely zero to do with Diras Keva. It has everything to do with a psychological concern. Should we be afraid? Shem Yim Shech HaShachana. Is that sufficient to make a Gzeira D'Rabban of Shem Yim Shech HaShachana? What in the world does that have to do with Diras Kev and Diras Aroy? So according to the Rif, that Gemara doesn't read B'chlal. And even according to the Baal HaMor, we're really in trouble with that Gemara because in terms of Psach Halacha, the Shitas don't match up in terms of that Gemara. So we have to do a lot of work on that Gemara of Zion in order to read it Bein Lefi HaRif, Bein Lefi HaBaal HaMor. So the Ramban in the Muhammad suggests that within the Das HaRif, the answer is in Ochirami. That according to the Rif proper, the Rif's ultimate, final, concluding understanding of the Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, that Gemara doesn't make any sense. The Zayin of Beis Mamash doesn't read smoothly. But says the Rabban, don't forget, not everybody even agreed that there was actual a dual Machlekes to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Those who read the Gemara in Sukkot and Davgil Amrav carefully remember that the Gemara took the Gemara an awfully long time to prove. That there was even a machlokes between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, both about a sukkah, tana, and a sukkah gedola. At one stage, and in the worldview of some Amoraim, it's quite possible that the whole machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was only about a sukkah tana. There never was a machlokes about a sukkah gedola. Now, in the end of the day, the Gemara finally, give them an off. Those who read the Gemara carefully will remember. Finally, the Gemara concluded that Tarte Mashma, that within the Mishnah, there is a proof positive that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel disagreed on both Tana and Gedola. That is the emes. That's the conclusion. But at one stage of the Gemara thought that maybe the Machlekes was only about a Sikha Ketana. If the Machlekes was only about a Sikha Ketana and not about a Sikha Gedola, assuming for a minute that we're in the pre-Sikha Gedola world, this doesn't exist on our radar screen yet, what was the Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? If it's only in the realm of Sikha Ketana, does it have anything to do with the Gezeirah Shem Yim Shech HaKach Shulchanai? If the Machlekes was by Gezeirah Shem Yim Shech HaKach Shulchanai, then it's equally true by Sikha Ketana and Sikha Gedola. If we're going to claim that in the worldview of some Amoraim, the Machlekes was only about Sikha Ketana, then clearly the Machlekes was what? Was about the Shiva Sukkah. Namely, the Machlekes was Diras Aroy, Diras Rucha, Diras Keva, something along those lines. The only reason, says the Ramban, the only reason why the Rif was so convinced that at the end of the day the Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was not about the Shiva Sukkah, but was about the Gezeira, was only post discovery on Gimel Bet Aleph that the Machlekes was both by Sikha Ketana and Sikha Gedola. Once we come to the realization, to the truth, once we discover the truth that the Machlekes is equally true by Gedola and Ketana, then and only then are we free to conclude that Machlekes is really about Gezeira, i.e. Shitas HaRif. The Kozman that we thought the Machlekes was only Sikha Gedola and not Sikha Gedola, that's only Sikha Ketana, not Sikha Gedola, then we really believe that the Machlekes was on a Shia D'Araisa, i.e.
Aroi, Surucha, Keva, those type of lingo.
So the lingo of the Machloikis, the lumnus of the Machloikis, our approach to the Machloikis changed radically once we came to the true realization that there was a dual Machloikis. Kozman, we thought they were arguing about Tzipkitana. It wasn't just that we had a different understanding of when they're arguing. It wasn't just we had a different understanding of what the case was that they're arguing, but we had a radically different understanding of what the Nekudas HaMachlokes was. Kozman, that they were only arguing, if you really truly believe that Kozman Merayim, that they're only arguing about a Sukkah Ketana, then the nature of the Machlokes was a point of the Araisa of Aroi, Srucha, Kev, etc. It's only after we discover America and the Amoraim Medayek correctly, that they argued both Bektan and Gedola, then we went back to the drawing board and reread into what the Nekudas HaMachlokes is. So the Rif is talking post-discovery. The Rif is writing in the year 1000 after the Amoraim and Avgilam and Al finally worked out the details, finally hammered out the details for us, and came to the correct realization that the Machlokes was both Ketan and Gedola. Therefore, the Rif concluded it's based on Gezeira, and therefore the Rif went on his merry way to tell us, well, if it's based on Gezeira, and we paskin like Bishamin one, we paskin Bishamin the other as well. However, who lived in a world pre-discovery? Which great Amora didn't have that insight that the Amoraim had in the Gimel Amoraim for the end of the day? Give me a name of an Amora who lived pre-Columbus, pre-discovery. Who was that? Abaye. So when Abaye, the Hilig Abaye, is sitting in Bavel in the 300s and making a statement, Amr Abaye, here are the list of Tanoim who hold that Sukkah is a Diras Keva. On the list is Beis Shammai. It's not fair to attack Abaye and say, Abaye, how could you tell me that a Beis Shammai is into Diras Keva? I ain't a Rif who learns that Beis Shammai's learning is based on the Gezeira. Says the Ramban, yeah, of course the Rif is learning is based on Gezeira because the Amoraim and Av Gimel finally hammered out the details and realized there was a dual Machlokes. But pre-Gimel and Aleph, Tav Zayin came before Tav Gimel. Tav Zayin, Abaye was talking before that realization was made, and therefore, says the Ramban, the nature of the Machlokes was radically different, and therefore Beis Shammai appropriately belongs to the list of Diras Keva, Diras Aroi, etc. So the Ramban is able to salvage the Rif Shita based on the Gemara Tav Zayin. So now we come up in Abaye's view, so then there's no way we can't really pass it like it. According to Abaye, you can't really pass it like B'Shamay. Right,
Nechrami? According to B'Shamay, we can't. We're saying we don't, for us,
we couldn't pass it like B'Shamay. According to Abaye, you couldn't follow B'Shamay. Right. Right. Because B'Shamay was on the wrong team into the Diras Keva. However, what about according to the Balamor? So according to the Balamor, it's almost a little bit easier because according to the Balamor, even Lamaskana, there is something left of Beis Shammai Shita of Diras Keva, Diras Aroi. The only problem is that according to the Balamor, that the Gemara, Abaye is right. Abaye is Lamaskun. According to the Balamor, nothing radically changed between the days of Abaye and the later Amoraim. Abaye also understood Pshat in Beis Shammai, that there's an aspect of Beis Shammai that's Gezeira, that's true, that's the part we don't care about too much, Allah, but there's an aspect of Beis Shammai that's Diraisa, that's Tzicha Ketana. But the problem is, according to the Balamor, what's he doing on the list? According to the Balamor, that nothing changed. Abaye didn't have any misinformation. Abaye was right on target. According to the Balamor, so Taka, how can we paskin like Beis Shammai? And Abaye still make a statement that Beis Shammai is part of the sheet. The part of the sheet is that we don't paskin like. So that's why the Balamor turns around and says, you know what? That rule of Beshita Omru that we don't paskin like is not an absolute rule, says the Balamor. He says, Beshita Omru means that fundamentally, we don't paskin like most of those opinions. We fundamentally don't accept Diras Keva. Namely, we don't go Diras Keva to the extent of Rabbi Danasi to meet for Dal Ramis, but we don't go to the extent of Rabbi Huden and Mishnah Dabeis to permit a Sukkah above 20 Amis. But to certain small degrees of Diras Keva, we do subscribe to. What does that mean? We subscribe to small aspects of Diras Keva. What that means is that, well, we insist that it shouldn't be a Diras Rucha. And therefore, we, in the same, you know, with a straight face, in the same breath, we can say, we don't need dollar by dollar. We won't accept the Sukkah above 20, but that seventh Tefach we're going to insist upon. And yes, we do accept Beis Shammai Shita, even though it's on, so to speak, on the black list. Even though it's on the list of Shitas that we generally don't paskin like, we can still paskin like it. So comes the Ramban and has a lot of trouble textually with this Balamor. The Ramban says what the Balamor just did is he took this klal gadol that's like the halacha from Sinai, don't see that. It's not even in the Gemara, this klal. It's from the Ge'onim. This principle that all the Rishonim were accepting as absolute ironclad truth in terms of Pesach Halacha, and said it's not as true as we thought it was. So the Ramban says he has trouble with that. He says, we have a klal, we have a Messiah from the Ge'onim, that things that are on the sheet that you don't paskin like. According to the Balamor, it's not really true. It's almost true. It's 90% true. It's not an absolute statement. He says the Ramban, according to me, it's absolutely true. Any sheet that it's on, the sheet that never, ever, ever gets accepted la halacha. The only thing here, says the Ramban, the only reason why Bisham is on the Shita is because Abaye, I don't want to use the word misunderstood, but that's kind of what the Ramban is saying, because Abaye had the pre-Chassidus HaGemara understanding, so to speak, of Bisham, therefore he put it on the bad list. La halacha Bisham gets on the bad list, gets onto the good list. According to the Balamor, Bisham was on the wrong list, the wrong list, the wrong list. We still pass like him anyway because we don't reject everything on the list of Shitas. The Ramban has a lot of trouble with this Balamor, and just in terms of textually, it doesn't fit into this principle of Shita as well as we would like it to. So when all the dust settles, everybody said, we're still back to square one. We have the two approaches in the Barif and the Balamor. How to make sense of all these sugyas? How to understand Bishamai? Two machlaikim? Is it one machlaikim? Is it two machlaikim? What's going on? Everybody has a little bit of trouble. Rough edges of the Gemara of Zion, but everyone seems to, you know, get out of the Gemara of Zion to some degree. Is there any other possibility, any other logical possibility in the sugya? So we have two extreme shitas. The extreme shita of the Rif that everything's the same, and therefore we pass like Bisham across the board. Or like the Balamor, everything is different, and therefore we only accept Bisham in one, not in the other. Could we walk a tightrope, almost a hybrid, almost combine, I don't know, call it the best of both worlds, between both shitas? Is there a way to combine two shitas to create a third sheet in the sugya? So the Ramban quotes a third possibility from the Tamid HaRif. We don't know which Tamid HaRif he's referring to, but he quotes from the Tamid HaRif, who walked the tightrope, who said we could take, in a certain sense, the best of both worlds. Come to Tamid HaRif and say, that Rebbe the Rif is right, the Heiliger Rif is right, that it's one sugya. There are no tzugyas here, there's no deraisa here, everything revolving around the gezeira. But the Rif took that understanding to the logical conclusion and said, well, everything revolves around the gezeira, and since we paskin like the gezeira on the gimel, so therefore we have to paskin like the gezeira even by Sukkah Gedola as well. So come the other Tamid Rif and says, we don't have to go as far as the Heiliger Rebbe went. Maybe the Rif is fundamentally, our Rebbe is fundamentally right that both machloksim revolve around gezeira, but we're not forced to paskin like Bishame across the board. Why is that? Come to Tamid HaRif and says, not all gezeiros are created equal. Not all scenarios warrant the same degree of concern, the same degree of chashash. I'll give you two scenarios, and you tell me, where is there more of a fear of gezeir shamim shechach ha-shulchanon? You have a guy who's sitting in a sukkah that's six tvachim by six tvachim. The guy sitting over here, okay, a little big, big head, okay? And his table is outside. Why is his table outside? Because there's no room for it inside. That's one gzeir shemim shachar shachorim. Then you have another case. There's a tremendous chassidish shesukah, 5,000 people in it. And you have one ninkabut at the end who's sitting over here who's got his table outside. Now, truth to be told, there's gzeir over here and there's gzeir over here. But between me and you, say the Tamid HaRif, which is more of a gzeir? Obviously the first case is more of a gzeir because he can't get his table inside even if he wants to. The second case, the guy, why should he be Nimshach HaShulchan? Let him just bring his table inside and put the table over here. So there's room for him to move the table in. Say to Tamid HaRif, just because the Amorayim and Gimel Menalfa Machriya, that we're concerned, the Beishama is concerned in the case of a 6x6 sukkah, doesn't necessarily translate to mean that we're so concerned with a 50x50 sukkah. Maybe in the Chabul Chedushai, Chazal were concerned the halacha lemaisa to be choshesh from Bishamai when it's impossible to have your table in the sukkah. That's a real, real great, real fear. When it's a 50x50 sukkah, it's highly unlikely shemi yimshach. You just bring the table inside, and therefore even we lalacha are not going to be concerned with Bishamai. So it comes out, say the Tamid HaRif, that the Rebbe, the Rif is right that the Shama Shita is predicated on one fact, and that's the gezeira. But not all cases are the same degree of concern, and therefore, we can end up learning the lumdus of the Rif with the Psach Halacha, so to speak, of who? Of the Balamor, in effect. That means the Balamor ended up by saying a 6x6 is no good, but 50x50 is good, even though your table's outside. So the Rif said no. The Balamor said yes. The Tamid HaRif said the Rebbe's right, the lumdus, but Halacha Maisa, the Balamor is right. So the Ramban doesn't like this pshat. He thinks this pshat doesn't fit into the text of the Gemara. He says, you know, it's logical, but to make such fine lines, fine-tuned distinctions within the Gezerah, we would have expected Chal to tell us that. Chazal felt that sometimes the Gezerah makes sense and sometimes not. We would have expected some indication from the Gemara to that extent. For us to make up that on our own, the Ramban didn't think was correct. So again, logically, it makes sense what the Tamina Rif is saying, but textually it doesn't fit in. So when all the dust settles, what is the din? Halacha Maaseh, what is the din? If I have a 6 tefachim sukkah, what's the din? Maybe I have a 50 amas sukkah with a table shulchan b'chutz, what's the din? So this is according to all opinions, according to Baal HaMor, according to the Rif, according to Tamid HaRif. There's no question that all three of these cases, this is no good, and this is no good, and this is no good. How do I know that? Beyond the shadow of a doubt? Gemara Gimlam and Aleph. The only nuance of difference is it no good on what level? According to the Baal HaMor, it's no good Deraisa. According to the Rif, it's no good Derabban. According to Tamid HaRif, it's no good Derabban. What about a 50 Amma by 50 Amma with a Shulchan Bachutz? So what would the Baal HaMor say? It's good. What would the Rif say? No good. Obviously only with Derabban, clearly. And what about if the Tamid HaRif, what would they say? It is good. So the Tamid HaRif take the best of both worlds. So the Tamid HaRif have followed the lumdus of the Rif, but they end up in Pesach Halacha much closer to the view of the Baal HaMor. Okay? So those are the three basic shittas in Rishonim. Again, just the ABCs, how to read through the Sugya, different lumdus in the Sugya, how it plays out. Yeah.
What would they say about Abaye?
What would the Tamid HaRif say about Abaye? They would probably say the same as the Ramban said. Okay, so by say, that was the first half of the sugya. Now we move on to the second half of the sugya, which is the point that's raised by Tosfos. Tosfos has an eye-opener in the sugya, commenting on a story, a very famous story, where the Gemara tells, the Mishnah actually tells a story later on in the second perek, about how the Tamidei Bishami and Beisilel, who were fighting this out in Dafkav Chesem and Aleph, the Tamidei Bishami and Beisilel once went to go visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis. Let me take a look at the Mishnah Kav Chesem and Aleph. Lukachoy Amaisa Shaholchu Zikne, the third line of the Mishnah. Shaholchu Zikne B'Shav Zikne B'Sil Levakas Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis. Umatzusha Yeshiv Reishiv Rub B'Sukkah Shcham Zola. He was taka sitting in such a sukkah. This wasn't just a lom de shashat. It really happened. For Omlo Dov, and they didn't say anything to him. So the Beis Hillel wanted to bring a raya from the fact that the Zikne B'Shav B'Sil, the older generation, didn't say anything. It must have been that they approved of such a sukkah. Amlan Bisham. Bisham, he says, no, it's not true. You have the facts wrong. Misham Raya. Afein Amrlo. M'keni Sinai lo kiyam t'mit sukkah miyamechad. Then, in fact, they did say something to him. They did tell him that the sukkah was not acceptable. So the strange machlokes is that the later, the younger Tamidim to Misham Basilil, a fighting out was what the Rebbeim said. That the group of the younger Tamidim Basilil was saying, our Rebbeim didn't correct with Yochanan ben Acharonis. That's a Raya that they must have held that it was okay. To which the Beis Shammai says, no, they really did correct him. Very strange. You find this is the second time in a blot and a half in Sukkah that you find a machlekes etzanoim revolving around something that happened in a previous generation. And the whole discussion is, did somebody correct somebody's Sukkah or not correct somebody's Sukkah? The same way we have Hilni HaMalka. And a machlekes Rabbi the Chachamim, what did the Chachamim or did they not say to Hilni HaMalka? So too, what did the Zikne Beis Shammai, Zikne Beis Hillel, did or did not say to Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis? Very strange, interesting raya. Everything's revolving around visiting somebody else's sukkah in the previous generation, trying to map out precisely what was or was not said, and deriving halacha l'maaseh from that. Interesting approach.
Is this case not a machlokes?
It sounds like it's machlokes mitzias. Yeah, it sounds like it's machlokes. What happened? The machlokes is in lumdus, namely, do we make the gzeira? Not make the gzeira. Is it good? Not good. It's a lumdus and machlokes. But then we're trying to bring a raya what the early generations had. So I claim the Chofetz Chaim said this, and you said the Chofetz Chaim didn't say that. So that's machlokes and mitzias. Yeah. Rashi in Maseches Ksubas Daf Nun Zayin points out that sometimes you have a machlokes about a lumdus shaila. Means I hold this lumdus and you hold that lumdus. And sometimes you have machlokes. What did somebody else say? I say somebody said such and such, and you say somebody else said such and such. So Rashi in Ksuvas Tefillin Zayin says, we were talking about yesterday, says that you only say Elu Ve'elu Dvir Elokim Chayim if it's a Machlokes in Lomdus. I think the following approach, and you think the following approach. But if we're just finding out what did Rabbi Pliny say, so that's either he did say or didn't say it. So that's a lot to call that ilva ilva. That's what Rashi says in the Ksuba Stav Nun Zayin. It's interesting. Anyway, get back to the story. According to the understanding of Bishamai, that the Zikne Bishamai Zilal did, in fact, correct Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, the lashon that they used was very stinging, very sharp. The lashon, they didn't just say to him, oh, by the way, maybe bring your table, please, Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, bring your table in so you shouldn't be in violation of a gezeirah de rabbanan. They said to him, Kena yisen noyeg, lo kiyamtem it's a sukkah biyamecha. He must have been very special, Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis. All the Zakenim went to visit him. So he wasn't a nobody. Then I don't come to visit me on Sukkot. So they were there. And he said, but the boys, Tamidim, come. You know, the Gedolei Ador don't come to visit me on Sukkot. So all the Gedolei Ador come to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis. He's a very special person. And they said to him, Lo kiyamtem et hasukkah miyamecha. So Tosfos gets very, very nervous, very sensitive about that lashon. What's sensitive about that lashon? Because even if it's true that you shouldn't be doing that, at worst it is what? The absolute worst that is the Rabbanim. Remember, we're not talking about a 6x6. We're talking about a big, 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 big sukkah. So even Zalzayin to such a gezeirah, at worst, it's only the Rabbanim. So you say to somebody who's fulfilling a mitzvah deraisa, but not fulfilling a mitzvah deraisa, kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. It's almost not true. It's tovishkar, it's shagan gomer. If I sit in a sukkah that's good min haTorah, just happen to violate the gezeirah, deraisa, kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. It's a very, very, very sharp, strong lashon. And doesn't seem to be halachically accurate. So you know what Tosfos says? Tosfos says, yeah, it is halachically accurate. And the last line in Tosfos Gimel Amud Aleph, long Tosfos says, "V'ka'amre lo kiyamta mitzasukah miyamecha diafilu mideraisa lo kiyem." Yep. Rochi Rami, that if Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis didn't observe this din de rabbanon, then Igloi Milsi wasn't yaitzi in the mitzasukah even on the love of deraisa. The Lashon was absolutely halachically 100% accurate. And Lichtenstein's thesis is an unbelievable chiddush that really, really needs a lot of work to understand where it's coming from. Is that statement true? Is that observation of thesis halachically accurate? I do a mitzvah that on the love of deraisa is a mitzvah, but in the process I did something that I wasn't supposed to do midrabanan. So that's called I didn't do the mitzvah on the love of deraisa? Is that true? And if that's true, based on what mechanism is that? If the Rabbanu Shalom said it's a mitzvah, so what do you mean I didn't? So I didn't say the Rabbanu. That's chatas yavis peshat. I didn't say the Rabbanu. I'll try better next time. It's not a mitzvah, the love of the Raisa. Very, very strange. Bizarre concept. What's that based on? What's the halachic mechanism to make such a statement that doing something against the dinum derabanan, against the directed derabanan, is mafkiyas oike the mitzvah meikar? It's not called the chalosh mitzvah. As we say many, many times, we've given this mashal. Who's calling the shots? Moshe Rabbeinu or the Shulchan Aruch? If I ask Moshe Rabbeinu, is this called Yeshiva B'Sukkah? What would Moshe Rabbeinu say? Well, what's wrong with it? It's got three walls. Shnayim Gachasav Shizavil Tefach. It's got Solos Gerim V'Yakev. It's more than 10 Tefachim. It's less than 20 Amos tall. It's more than 7x7 Tefachim. What's wrong with the Sukkah? The table's outside? Moshe Rabbeinu would say, two words. What would Moshe Rabbeinu say if I say, Gaval, the table's outside? What would he say? So what? So if I go to the Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm sitting in a sukkah. It's more than 10 tefachim, less than 20 ham. It's more than 7x7. So it's going to be yachav shlaim kachash shesafil tefach. The walls aren't moving. The Rebbeinu Shalom should also say so what. The only ones who say that it's a what, that it's a problem, are the chachamim. How? Again, I'm not minimizing listening to the rabbis. I believe you should listen to the rabbis also. It's good. It's good to listen to the rabbis. But between you and me, defining whether or not it was Yaitzim in HaTorah is l'chera based on the standards that went inside of Moshe Rabbeinu. Whether or not I did the right thing, whether I'm Torah observant Jew, we can discuss later. But min HaTorah was in Yaitzim, Adam was Yaitzim in HaTorah. What would you say about the following? Rashad Shchalas B'Shabbos. Rashad falls out on Shabbos. And the guy goes ahead, Shaloi Kedin violates the Yisad Rabban of Gzei Rishim Yisach, Gzei Rishim Yirena Dal Adamas. He blows the shofar. And Rashad Shchalas B'Shabbos. What would you say about him? So I'd say, when Yom Kippur comes, he has to clap al chayt for violating lo sos ben adav shegiru chayim in ismo. He didn't miss the derabbanan, granted. But between you and me, was he yaitzei shofar deraisa now? What do you think? Abad was yaitzei shofar deraisa. Tarek gezacht yom turei alochem, afilu b'shabbat. He was yaitzei min ha-tayra. What's the shayla? So Tarek gezacht, no. Taisa is not Yotzei Min HaTorah because he violated Nisa the Rabbanan in the process. So what is Taisa based on? What's this all about? So the Dvar Avram, the Avram is written by the Kovner Rav. The Dvar Avram was the last Rav in Kovner right before the war. He died. As the Nazis had already occupied Lithuania, he died in a sense of natural death. He died from the aggravation and the strain. But he died. I thought, the ghetto in Kovno was still to some degree functioning. So the Dvar Avram, in his Sefer, he suggests that the only way to make sense out of this thesis is to say that the reason why you're not Yotzei the love of Deraisa is because of another principle in terms of Shmiras HaMitzvahs, and that's called Mitzvah Babi Aveira. When a person does a mitzvah in the context of an Aveira, that gufa is a paisel of a mitzvah, even on the level of Deraisa. So here the person violated that cloud, that principle of Mitzvah Babi Aveira, because he tried to do the mitzvah of Sukkah, or in our scenario, he tried to do the mitzvah of Shofar, but in the process of doing Sukkah, he was in gross violation of those sasmer davar shegidochayim in the smoke, because the zikne b'shamay said to him, "You're violating the gzeir d'rabbanim gzeir shemim shachar shachanoi. You're doing an aveira. You're not listening to the chachmei atayra. So you're not listening to the chachmei atayra in your fulfillment of the mitzvah is like the mitzvah of aveira. A mitzvah of aveira is a paisel on a love of deraisa. So you're always getting through to the back door. The reason why you're not yetzei is because of that principle that was violated. That gufa becomes a paisel of the mitzvah." That's a very, very loaded statement because we haven't got to this yet. Hopefully we're going to talk this a lot more later on in Daftes, and then hopefully we'll get to the third parak at some point during the year. Hopefully we'll come back to this. There's a major, major, major machlekes in Rishonim, whether the prince of Mitzvah Babi Aveira is really a paisel d'oraisa or not. Anyone know what the source of Mitzvah Babi Aveira is? A very, very strange source. For Veisem, what? It's a Biseach, it's a Gozel. A pasuk not from the Chumash Chumash Torah. From where? Anyone know where it is? Pasuk in Malachi. Malachi. I mean, the Hail Gehelia Novi Malachi. The Hail Gehelia Novi Malachi. But the Mechilas Kvayda, it's not a pasuk in Chumash. And some Rishonim were of the opinion that the whole institution, lock, stock, and barrel of Mitzvah Babi Aveira, is only a Din Midrabanan. It's not a real Din Deraisa. One of the strongest proofs to this, and one of the biggest believers of this, is the Shitas HaTosfos in Daftes Amud Aleph in Masechet Sukkah. Anyone know what Gemara ultimately prompted Tosfos to believe that Mitzvah Babi Aveira is only Midrabanan? Anyone know the greatest source for Tosfos in Daftes Amud Aleph? The Gemara is a pasuk that a Sukkah Gzulas Psula. You steal Schach, you make a Sukkah out of it. So the Gemara learns out from Sukkah, it's Pasul Min HaTorah. Chag Sukkah Tassel L'chol, the Matas a Gzula. Frekta is a Kasha. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me Sukkah Gzulas Psula? Typically, Mitzvah Babi Aveira. The famous Kasha. Anyone know the 15 Teretz of Terah Kasha? Okay, not really 15, a few. So if we get enough tests, we'll go through the Teretz. Anyone know what's the most famous of all famous answers to Terah Kasha? Just say two words. There you go, Mechas Chinuch. One of the most famous Mechas Chinuch, we'll hopefully spend a lot of time talking about. Mechas Chinuch went in his own direction and created a whole world of controversy about his understanding or lack thereof of Mitzvah Babi Aveira. We're not talking about that now. Give you something to look forward to in the Daftes. But Taisus asked the Kasha, Taisus gave a different dance. Different than Mechas Chinuch. Comes Taisus and says, why does the Gemara need a pasuk to tell me Sukkah Gzulas Psula, tape of Leh Mitzvah Bavir? Does that mean from Doh, what do you see from here? That the whole institution, Hakam Mikkakom, Mitzvah Bavir, is only what? It's only Midrabanan anyway, and therefore it wouldn't apostle on the love of Deraisa. So there is no Din Klali of Mitzvah Bavir. You need a Din Prati Dafta by Sukkah. That's the famous sheet of Taiz Daftas. So comes the Dvar Avram and says, according to my Pshat on Daf Gimel, that the Bali HaTosfos are disqualifying a mitzvah on a love of Deraisa based on Mitzvah Babi Aveira, I'm putting myself out on a limb by saying that this Taisus is assuming Mitzvah Babi Aveira is Deraisa. Now, that's very, very shaky, because in Daf Tes, Taisus doesn't say that. Truth to be told, later on in Daf Lama, Taisus does go back to assuming Mitzvah Babi Aveira is Deraisa. So it says the Rav, I don't want to get involved in that Shaila. We're not learning Daf Tes, we're not learning Daf Gimel. So I don't want to be Mishab, I don't want to put Taisus into the corner and say, this Taisus Daf Gimel is assuming Mitzvah Babi Aveira is Deraisa. Says the Rav, this is a significantly worse Mitzvah Babi Aveira than Daf Tes. Why? It says it's about Avram, but man, the Ramamurim, the Rishonim, are pilling and fighting and arguing about whether the Mitzvah Babi Aveira is Deraisa, the Rabbanan. That's in the following scenario. When I do an Aveira, And then down the line, that aveira enables me to do a mitzvah. I steal the schach, and then 6 months later, I'm able to use that stolen schach. Or I steal the wool, and 6 months later, I'm able to make use effort tzitzis. So that's the sugya mitzvah aveira. Maybe yeah, maybe no. But says the Avram, what if the aveira is brought about by the mitzvah itself? The two mamash go hand in hand. It is dafka, specifically the fulfillment of the mitzvah, that gufa is the ma'is aveira. So then the Dvar Avram says, then forget it. L'chol adayas. That's for sure a mitzvah aveira that parcels out of love of deraisa. How do you know that? Not clear. That's the Avram claims. So therefore, in the Gilam with Aleph, it is the fulfillment of the mitzvah in a manner that the Chachamim prohibited me from doing, that is gufa b'shas ma'is a mitzvah, I'm gufa doing the aveira. That's the ultimate, that's the highest level of mitzvah of Avera, and that disqualifies the mitzvah and love of the Raisa l'chol hadeis, claims the Dvar Avram, and that's what Tosfos is driving at on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. So again, the Dvar Avram is almost coming from left field. He's looking to superimpose a psul deraisa on something which doesn't seem to be possible in a Torah. How can you disqualify a super deraisa because the guy never is sitting outside with the table outside? What's the problem of deraisa? So the Dvar Avram says, you're right, there really is no problem deraisa. But because you happen to be violating Aveira, and the Aveira is being done b'shas, ma'is, and mitzvah, that's an absolute no-no, and mitzvah of Aveira cancels the mitzvah.
Doesn't Joseph himself say that the only time you have mitzvah of Aveira is when the action causes the mitzvah? That through the action, the only way, through the Aveira, the only way you could have done the mitzvah?
Right, the only way I could do the mitzvah now under these circumstances is through the Aveira. So here, the only way for me to sit, you mean I could have theoretically sat in the sukkah differently?
Right, isn't that okay?
So we have to map. We have to iron that out in the flamid. So you may have to wait till the second, till the third prayer for that one to understand what the nuances of that. First of all, a lot of Rishonim don't accept that thesis. We're going to talk about that a lot more. This is not the end of mitzvah aveira for the year. This is not even the beginning.
Isn't also the Gemara that says that if you tear kriya
on Shabbos,
so wouldn't that be directly against?
Because the Rishami, right. So that's the problem. Why that's true? There's a complicated Rishami about that. We have to put that in the list of things to talk about with mitzvah aveira also. Okay, you guys are ahead of the game here. Okay, so Baisai, but almost what's interesting about the Dvar Avram is that he has to come mamash from left field because intrinsically it doesn't make any sense. How you not yet to the mitzvah just because he did it the Rabbanan? So comes Rabbi Chanan. And suggests maybe it's more than with the mitzvah. Maybe a very, very different view than the Dvar Avram. Comes Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan and Dvar Avram used to correspond to each other. They were never, Rabbi Chanan also. Rabbi Chanan was also, actually, Rabbi Chanan died. Rabbi Chanan was killed in, right outside of Kovna. Rabbi Chanan was Slobodka in Kovna, where Slobodka was a suburb, right? If I'm not mistaken, we know the geography. If I'm not mistaken, Slobodka was a suburb of Kovna, and Rabbi Chanan was killed right outside of Slobodka, Kovna, right? So it's the same. So 1941, the same thing. Rabbi Avram died naturally in 1941. Rabbi Chanan was killed in June of 1941. I'm saying Tam was 1941. So Rabbi Chanan has a different approach, different dimension to the sugya entirely. Comes Rabbi Chanan, there's a famous Gemara in the Masechet Yevamos. We spoke about this many, many times over the years. But the Gemara says that what's the din if the Chachamim tell you to violate a din in the Torah? The Torah says one thing, and come to the Sanhedrin, the Beis Dagon tells you to do Farkir. So who do you listen to? So what's the answer? So the Gemara tells us the basic two klolim. What are the two basic principles? It depends what they're telling you. If they tell you to outright violate an Aveira, they tell you, we think at the Beis Dagon, it's a very, very good idea, you should drive on Shabbos. So what's the answer? Not allowed to listen to them. They have no authority, no jurisdiction to tell you to drive on Shabbos. If the Beis Din HaGadol thinks that there's some kind of a Hora'a Shah, there's a Migda Milsa, there's some unbelievable great benefit for Yadus that will take place if we tell you right now, this Shabbos, right here and now, we think you should drive on Shabbos. We're never telling you to drive next to us. We never have a Chalila telling you it's okay. It's Issa Gom, it's a disaskew to drive on Shabbos, but there's some unbelievable emergency measure to drive this Shabbos. What's the din? The Migda Milsa? That they do have the authority to say. That the Beis HaGadol does have the authority to say. The Gemara says that Beis Din is makan va'injin shalom in adin. Let's say Beis Din sees there's some kind of emergency situation, so they're permitted to actually kill somebody, even though l'fi dini atar, the person is not chayav misa. How can they violate Lo Sirtza? So Gemara says, the Migdem Nilsa, they're allowed to. That if it's a one-time shot, a one-time deal, where they feel that some kind of unbelievable tikkun hadas, that some tremendous need for the tzibur to take place right here and now, then they can even violate even the Kumba Asay, with the exception of Avodah Zarah. How do the Gemara know if that's true? How do you know that Chazal have that koach, even on an emergency basis, to violate a din haTorah? So the Gemara says, what? Oh, so the Gemara learns it out from Eliyahu HaNavi. The Gemara says that it says in Parsha Shoftim, Elof Tishma'un, there's a mitzvah to listen to a Navi. The Gemara says, what does Elof Tishma'un mean? Elof Tishma'un means all the time, no matter what he tells you, Afilu Lavo Divrei Torah L'migda Milsa. And the Gemara says, Harai Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi gathers all the Navi Abal together, and he says, let's all bring I'm going to bring a korban now on a bama, in the middle of Haifa, a Carmel. There's Man HaMikdash, there's a base of Mikdash in Yerushalayim. There's a Nisa Deraisa Shchutei Chutz, there's a Deraisa Halas Chutz. He was Chayef Kurish twice, Eliyahu HaNavi. So what's he doing? So the Gemara says, no, that's the mitzvah of Tishmon. If Eliyahu HaNavi would have told them, from here on in you could bring Kabbanis in Haifa, so he would have been a Navi Shech, he would have been Chayef Misa. But he said, no, you're not allowed to bring Kabbanis Chutz LaMikdash, but right now, this is going to be the Tikkun for Avodah Zarah. This is going to convince Klal Yisrael that Avodah Zarah is Sheker and Avodah Zarah is MS. I'm telling you to violate an Nisa Kurish right now. So the Gemara says, they love Tishmon, you have to listen. But if you don't listen, the Gemara says, Yechai Misim De Shemayim. So when Navi has a special koach, that's the mitzvah satir, elof tishmon, afilu lavo divritera, as long as it's the mitzvah, except for Avodah Zarah. If a Navi tells you, even, let's worship idols just for now, not tomorrow, just for now, it's all, but it's a tremendous, tremendous tzarech hashoah to worship idols, that's a dead giveaway in Navi Shech Yisrael Misa. So that's Navi, even the mitzvah Milsa. But short of Avodah Zarah, the Tzarech Shemapa explains to us, elof tishmon. So Gemara says that just as Eliyahu Navi, just as the Vim have that koyach to super see the halacha at a Migda Milsa, so to the Chacham have the same koyach. That if once in a blue moon they tell you to violate a nis, even a kumar, say you have to listen to them. So Taisus on the spot jumps and says, how did Chazal know that? Jump. Just because there's a gzeres akasa by Navi, how did they know it's true by Beis Din? That pasuk elof tishmon was gzeres akasa by Navi. Doesn't say elof tishmon by Beis Din or so how do we connect the dots? That's Taisus Yevabas has that kash. It's clear for the Gemara that it's true. The Gemara says the favorite that it's true, and the Gemara connects the two. How did Chazal understand to a connect? That's how Taisus tries to, you know, iron out for you the connection between the two. But there's clearly a din vis-a-vis Beis Din HaGadol. Beis Din HaGadol tells you the Migda Milsa, then you listen to them. But if it's not the Migda Milsa, an emergency, just they tell you that we think now that, you know, we did an assessment, we did a study, and we realize that it's good that people should be driving on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to listen to them, even with your Beis Din HaGadol. So if all the greatest, all the Chachmei Torah, all the Chachmei Torah in the entire world would get together and say, now the Jewish people live in the suburbs, they're far away from the main shuls, now people aren't coming to shul on Saturday morning anymore, we think that's in the best interest of Judaism, that people should drive to shul on Shabbos, you're not allowed to listen to them. Even if it would be the greatest Chachmei Torah in the whole world, who would say such a thing, you're not allowed to listen to them, they have no chayach, they have no authority to do that. But the authority that they do have is Mishay Bal Taser. If they sit around and they say, you know, we think it would be very, very advantageous for Judaism in general that people should not be blowing shofar on Shabbos. Why? Even though, you know, shofar is a very, very important mitzvah, but Shmir Shabbos is even more important, and we want to make sure nobody carries on Shabbos, so we're going to be oik in a davar of tkiyah shofar on Shabbos. We're going to tell you not to blow shofar. So the Gemara says, Shev al Tasa, you have every bit of authority to do so, and they did. And the Gemara lists off a whole series of cases where they actually invoked that authority. Atzilei Marshal, they said, don't blow shofar in Shabbos and don't shake a lulav in Shabbos. A few other odds and ends, what's another example? It's not even on the list, but it's also true. We just did this. We just observed this din. What day is it? What's today? Monday. So Sunday, 3 days ago, we all observed this din. We were all Shev al Tasa. We didn't do a mitzvah deraisa. The chi of gomim in a Torah we didn't do. Nobody knows? Anyone put on tefillin on Friday? Why not? Min haTorah, only the first day is Kaddish. Second day wasn't Kaddish Min haTorah. Wasn't an oath Min haTorah. You mechuv to put on tefillin Min deraisa on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. On the second day of the Shein Evad, you mechuv to put on tefillin Min haTorah. So why were you putting on tefillin? Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin! And you weren't putting on tefillin. What a terrible way to start off a Seder Mitzvah. The first tefillin deraisa you all missed. Right, we all missed it. You know why? Because Yishkoch V'Yacham Lachadam HaTorah B'Shev El Tassim. I always find it very fascinating that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so if you think about it,
the first absolute chiyuvim gemura midaraisa of the new year, we miss both of them. What's the first chiyuv gomer? Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. What's the first chiyuv? We're not eating apple and honey. What's the first chiyuv gomer in the Torah? It's to blow shofar. We lose that. What's the next chiyuv gomer in the Torah? To put on tefillin on Sunday. And we miss that also. So we're ready. The third day of Aseres Metshuva, the two chiyuvim gemura midaraisa, munach hakarach to the gavra, we blew. We lost it. No pun intended. We lost both of them. Why? Because we're fulfillment. We come to the Kisei HaKavod. So the mitzvah that comes to accompany us is the mitzvah of Kechol Asher Erucha V'Asisa Piyadav Asher Yigil Chayim Minu Smol. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, when he judges us on Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos, so when he's counting the mitzvahs and Averas, so shofar we don't have. What are we going to do? We don't have the shofar. But we do have the other mitzvah. We have the mitzvah is V'Asisa Piyadav Asher Yigil Chayim Minu Smol. We listen to the Chachma Torah not to blow. Because it's also mitzvah deraisa. It's no less of a mitzvah than Yom Tzuri Yaluchem. So getting back to our story. So we know that the Chacham have the koyach to be oikir davar min haTorah as long as it's b'sheva ta'asa. The Taz, as a chiddush, the Taz says they can only be oikir davar min haTorah temporarily, in the sense of they never did away with shofar entirely. They did away with shofar every few years and it falls out on Shabbos. Let's say the Chacham would decide they want to knock the whole shofar out of the box because they don't want Jews blowing shofar because we're afraid they're going to fix the musical instrument. They can't do that, says the Taz. They can only knock out a mitzvah, even b'sheva ta'asa, partially. They're not going to mitzvah in its entirety, that they have no kerech to do. That's a shaila whether we accept the task, but not for now. So that din, says Rabbi Chanan, that yesh kach v'yachan lakor davar min haTorah b'sheva ta'aseh. Listen to those words carefully. Lakor davar min haTorah. What does lakor mean? To uproot. Yesh ladun, says Rabbi Chanan, yesh lakor. What is the nature of this din, this chiddush din deraisa of yesh kach v'yachan lakor davar min haTorah? Does that mean that the Chum have a right to tell you not to blow the shofar? But they can't change the reality. The spiritual reality is that Kiyas Shofar is still a mitzvah. They could tell you as a gavra, don't do the mitzvah today. And when you come to the Kisei HaKavod and they ask you, why didn't you blow the shofar? So you point to your Vamistav Peites and says, well, Yesh Kach Yacham Lach Tav Yeter, so no kasha. But at the end of the day, is Kiyas Shofar on Shabbos a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah. Who defines mitzvahs? The Rebbeinu Shlom defines mitzvahs. So the Rebbeinu Shlom defines it as a mitzvah to Kiyas Shofar. It's a mitzvah to Kiyas Shofar. Whether you're allowed to do it or not, that's your diyun al tzagavra, but al tzbitam the mitzvah shaboy, bitam the pulas mitzvah, it's still chal on the shame pulas mitzvah, even on Shabbos. You're not going to do it, but it's still chal on the shame pulas mitzvah. What do I say? No, says Rebbeinu Shlom. Much deeper than that. Yesh kach b'yachav v'lach. What was that word again? What does lakor mean? They can uproot it. They can change the spiritual reality. This is nishkin mitzvah anymore. If a Jew hears a shofar on Shabbos, that's not a mitzvah. That's the tooting a horn. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah shofar. That licked in the gezeris hakosav of yesh koch b'yachom lakhtav min haTorah. Whatever the mocha for that din is, with the chimin or small, whatever the mocha is, licked in that din der eis, that a nimsel may shabbin, that yesh koch b'yachom lakhtav min haTorah shabbatasa, is that the Chum have an unbelievable koyach, they have an authority, they can change the spiritual reality. They could take what was not a mitzvah, I'm sorry, they could take what was a mitzvah, they go, there's nishkin mitzvah anymore. That's all within the authority, within the jurisdiction of Chazal, to change and transform what was a ma'isa shal mitzvah into a ma'isa rishus. And if a person hears the shofar on Shabbos, that's nothing. What do you think the din is as follows? I'm walking on the way on Rosh Hashanah, and lo and behold, it's Shoshana Chas B'Shabbos, and there's a shul that doesn't like to keep dirim derabanan. They don't need to keep their eyes. They karoim. They don't keep their derabanan. I'm walking past the Shiva HaKotel, and I come to the base. Kinesa shala karoim. And they're blowing shofar. And the Batkei is good. He's blowing a good kiss. He's got all the cool, all the chumras. He's got everything. But he's blowing Shabbos. He's not goyrus to dirim derabanan. So I ask you a serious question. Should I stand by the window and listen or not? Do I gain? According to the first Sadam Rebbe Chanan, yeah! Get all the klais all here. Everyone should come to the upper course and listen to them blow shofar. What a great idea. What's the Yisad Rabban? I'm not the Yisad Rabban. He's getting a Rabban, not me. There's no Yisad Rabban to listen to the shofar. So according to the first Tzad in Rabbi Chanan, it would be a great idea for everybody to listen to that shofar. According to the second Tzad in Rabbi Chanan, go home and eat your meal. Go take a nap if you want. It's after Chatzais. What are you listening to? You're listening to some guy tooting a ram's horn. That's not a Kiyas Shofar.
Because we live in a world of place that kiras davar min haTorah. This is nishkei ma'aseh mitzvah. I'll make it more real. What if you have a fellow who's blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah Chas v'Shabbos because he thinks that he did it's okay? Why does he think it's okay? Because the Gemara says, Mishnah says, the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, that if you have a Beis Din, you're allowed to blow in front of Beis Din, because the Beis Din will stop you from carrying the shofar. It's how we don't all do that. So Ruben the Rishonim held, it has to be a Beis Din shofar, and Rosh Hashanah Chas, we don't have his man as that. So therefore, nobody today blows shofar. Almost nobody. Anyone know what great Torah personality blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah Chas v'Shabbos? It is well documented by his Talmidim that he blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos in the last 1,000 years. Yeah, way before that, before the Rav Nishalayim. The Rif. The Rif's Talmidim are made that the Rif, Bizmana, blew shofar in his Beis Din on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. Because his opinion was you don't need a Beis Din on the Kaddish HaSachaydish. Three guys, if they're good enough for Ataras Tadarim and Rosh Hashanah, they're good enough for Tkiya Shofar. Macha Beis Din, 13-year-old kids. Okay, maybe more than that. Maybe you need a Gedol Hador. So the Rif was one of the Gedol Hador for sure, not the Gedol Hador. So the Rif and his Tamidim, the Beis Din on Shabbos, needs to blow shofar. After the Rif died, that minhag stopped. Nobody did it after the Rif died. But for his generation, the Rishonim right before Rosh Hashanah, they quote for the Tamidia Rif. Could be the same Tamidia Rif we just quoted before. We didn't know what the size of the Sukkah was. They were the ones who were blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So move the clock forward 900 years or so. There was a Rav in Yerushalayim who decided we're going to bring back the minhag of the Rif, and he thought that we should follow the Rif. So he decided to put up kolkeres that he's going to be blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos day in Yerushalayim. Man, did it get hot in Meir Sharim. All the, what do they call them? What are those things called? You know. Yeah, the Fashbim. They were going wild. They were going, they're fighting, they're screaming. That was lame, this geschmack. For and against. There are different versions of what happened. Did he actually blow or not? Some claim that he actually did. The way some relate the story is that they closed the shutters of the house by putting up some bodyguards around the house. They mached the Beis Din in his house and they blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. It's not clear exactly what happened, but it only happened once. It hasn't happened since then. Can't fight Meir Sharim. But Rabbi Yisai, I'd ask one question. I don't think you should blow shofar on Shabbos. In Bergerfield, we have not yet done that. We haven't made a Beis Din yet to blow shofar on Shabbos. But if I was in Yerushalayim that year, and I knew there's a rabbi blowing, I would have given anything under the sun to sneak into that house. Or maybe not. According to one side of Rabbi Chanan, you're wasting your time. Because you're just hearing some guy blowing a ram's horn, which is worthless. It's not the kishay for shom mitzvah, because yishkach lecham lachadav min haTorah. So Bukhan is not sure. What's the din? How far does yishkach lecham lachadav min haTorah? Says Bukhanan, he's not sure, but he thinks Taisus was sure. When Taisus said that when a person sits in the sukkah and the table's outside, lo kiyam the mitzvah sukkah miyamechi, you know why? Because Chazal wa oike the mitzvah sukkah b'chiyagavna. Since you're doing the sukkah shaloi b'tzad Chazal, this is nishkin shiv sukkah. You're sitting in a hut. That's not a mitzvah. Chacham have the ability to change the spiritual reality. They could take mitzvahs and turn them into dvarim shavrishus. Chazal don't only address the gavra, they address the very etz and very ma'ase gufa. So Shteh and Rebbe Chanan, that's a pshat in Tosfos.
Don't you see all the time that you try to only be over on a derabbanan when you can and not derabbanan? Like, let's say, Hilchos Shabbos, you have to call up the ambulance.
Because Chazal said that when you have situations where you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, so according to many Mishnayim, Chazal said that hierarchy of Chil Shabbos, it's better to do derabbanan than to do derabbanan.
Isn't it the same thing according to this?
No, not at all.
Derabbanan said it.
Do you mean to every derabbanan is a derabbanan of Lososer? That's a different way. That's the Ramban's tying against the Rambam. Not Rabbi Chanan is talking about first about mitzvah say. He's saying that Chazal can take a mitzvah in the Torah and declare it to be a davar rishus. So that's not the same. What you're asking is a very good question. You're asking the Ramban's question against the Rambam. The Rambam says that every violation of the Rabbanans is a violation of a deraisa lo sasar. So the Ramban asks 50 kashas against the Rambam. He says if that's true, then how could there ever be differences between the deraisa and the Rabban? How could suffer deraisa lo chubas of the Rabban? So it's a 50-50-50 questions, and there's one answer to all those questions. But not for now. Okay? But he's getting back to mitzvah. So what's the answer to this question? Is Tosfos right or not? This is a fun, this is a radical question. This gets to the heart and soul of the Rabbanans. Can the Chum have the authority to do such a thing? Is this true or not?
Even if, for example, Chanan, wouldn't this not be a Sheva al-Pasim?
No, no, no. All the Rebbe Chanan's word is that Chachamim can make, can change, can take a Maisa Shal Mitzvah Deraisa and declare it to be a nothing.
Even when it's not a
Sheva Pesach. No, no, it doesn't. The details don't matter. The Chachamim, do they have that authority? Does that halachic authority even exist to do such a thing? Can they perform magic, take a mitzvah and say it's not a mitzvah? So sometimes they did or did not do it l'gabei Sheva Tasa. Sometimes they did it by Gzeiras Derabanan. It doesn't matter. Now we're crossing, you know, different realms. It's a fundamental question. Does the Torah give the Chum that authority to even accomplish such a feat? Or they don't even have the mechanics to do such a thing. Mitzvahs are defined by the Rabban Shalom, not by the Rabban. It's defined by the Rabban Shalom. I remember a few years ago, I was Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos. So they had like a Yom Iyun, I think, before Rosh Hashanah. So I spoke about Tekiah Shofar and Shabbos. So I didn't like the name of the topic. They called it listening to the Torah or listening to the rabbis. A very, very controversial, open up Pandora's boxes of topics. But that's what I was talking about, basically. So comes Rabbi Chanan and says he thinks that that which Tais is writing is a machlekes erishayim. And he thinks that it ultimately boils down to two opinions in the Sefer HaEshkol. You know Sefer HaEshkol? Sefer HaEshkol was written by the Ravid, but not the Ravid that we know of, by the second Ravid. There were actually three Rishonim were known as the Ravid. The Rosh Hashanah was the Ravid. The most famous of them was the Ravid that we refer to, the Ravid Bal Hasagas. But the Ravid's father-in-law was also at the Rosh Hashanah of Ravid, and he wrote the Sefer HaEshkol. So the Sefer HaEshkol, he quotes a fascinating Shaila. There's a din, Gemara has a Masech HaShabbat, a Masech HaMenachos, that min haTorah, if you have a four-cornered linen beged, so you have to put tzitzis on it. And you have to put tchelis on it. A tchelis, always by definition, is not just blue, it's blue wool. It has to be wool in order to be kosher tchelis. So if you have a four-cornered linen beged and you put tchelis on, that's tantamount to doing what? Obviously, that's wearing shatnez. That's okay. That's okay. Shatnez, but tzitzis, shatnez is mutter. The Chum were very, very weary about invoking that halacha l'maisa. You know why? What were they worried about? Oh, what if the tchelis is not up to par? What if somebody's playing games on you and giving you what's called kol ilan, the forgery, the fake tchelis? So now I'm wearing a linen beged and I'm putting on tchelis. So the tzitzis are technically kosher. Even if the tchelis is you goofed, the tzitzis is still kosher. But there was really no need for you to wear tchelis. There was no need for you to wear shatnez. You could have used linen strings also. So the het of Esei Dochalosa says only when it's Iev Shebelav Hochi. So now you went ahead in effect and are violating shatnez for no real reason. No justified reason. So that's an Issa Deraisa. So Chazal were very, very weary in the Nedi Gezeira that even though Min HaTorah, you really should have a four-cornered beggar, you should put tzitzis on with tchelis. But since we're always concerned, you may get the wrong tchelis, you may get the wrong tchelis, so therefore, Midir Rabban, they said, don't do it. And what was the extent of the Rabban? What did they tell you not to do? Don't put on tchelis. And Rovin, many of the Rishonim hold, not only don't put on tchelis, but don't put on what? Don't put a tzitzis on altogether. Because if you let you put on lavan, next thing you do is to put on tchelis. So what can you do? So guys, I shout, Rabbi, I have a four-cornered bag, what do I do? The Rabbi says, don't put tchelis on, don't put lavan on, don't put any strings on it. Okay, but I want to wear the beged. What does the rabbi tell him? You can wear the beged, it's okay. It's all right. It's mutter, you can wear the beged. How can I wear the beged? The Torah says you have to put tzitzis on. What's the answer? How can I wear the beged? How can the Chacham tell me to wear the beged? It's an issa there, I still wear the beged. What's the answer? Yishkoch yachom, makadam in the Torah. But what? Shevatasa. And what's the next kasher, by saying? Where's the shevatasa? I'm putting on the beged. I'm doing a maisa. What's the shevatasa? What's the answer? What's Taisa's answer? Anyone know? Taisa's Rebbe Mitzvah Peites. Taisa says, you see, the Gemara calls that a Sheva Tasa. The Gemara puts it on the list of Sheva Tasas. The Gemara puts it on the same list with Shofar and Lulav, explicitly. It says, Taisa, where's the Sheva Tasa? You know what Taisa says? You know when the Mitzvah Tzitzis starts? When the beged's on you already. Asher Techaseba. If and when the beged's on you, a second later you become chayv to put tzitzis on. At that point it's Sheva Tasa. There's nothing wrong with putting the beged on. There's no aveir, there's no is, the thugging and chaz are driving to shul and shul. So the putting on the beged is mutter. Now I become chayv and tzitzis, Sheva Tasa, it's fine. So the rabbi tells me, l'chatchila, you're allowed no shilas. I can walk around my entire life with a four-cornered linen bag without any tzitzis on it. No problem.
What if a guy says, listen, I love the mitzvah tzitzis too much, I don't like the rabbis too much, I'm going to go ahead and violate what the rabbanim say, and I'm going to go ahead and put blue strings. I'm going to be very careful. I'm going to get the right chelas, I'm going to go to the right place, I'm going straight to the source. They give me the afat chelas. I got the 100% no shalat, the accurate chelas. I'm putting it on against better judgment of all the rabbanim. I'm putting on this linen daged, I'm putting on my blue strings. I'm trying. What do you think about that? The guy's a balaveira. He's violating the yisad derabbanim of salam mitzitzis. It's a terrible avera. Sefer Eshkol quotes some Yishayim will say, you know what else he's violating? Catch this one. What else is he potentially violating? He's wearing shatnez. Shelo b'mokom mitzvah. And it's Chayim Malkus wearing shatnez. And then the Sefer Eshkol quotes another pin and says, what? Shatnez? Shelo b'mokom mitzvah? Where is Shelo b'mokom mitzvah? He's wearing tzitzis. They're kosher tzitzis min haTorah. We know it. The rabbi said it's no good. The Targum said, Moshe Benyamin said it's no good. Rabbi Cohen said it's no good. The tzitzis are good. It's Esi Dechalosa. What do you give him Malkus for Shadis? He's a terrible balaveri. He's not a mom and Divi Chazal. We won't give him after Yonah. We don't like him. We won't let him say Shir the Yeshiva. But at the end of the day, what did he do wrong in terms of Shadis? He's wearing tzitzis. Shadis b'mokom mitzvah. What's the problem? What did the first opinion say for Eshkol hold? Sokhtar B'chanan. The first opinion say for Eshkol held what? No? The what? It's not a mitzvah anymore. You are wearing tzitzis. Shlo b'mokom mitzvah. Me? Yeah, you. No b'mokom mitzvah? Yeah, you. You know why? Because Rabbi Chanan told me the Yeshikach v'yachom lak or the minatar. It's nishkin mitzvah anymore. It's nishkin mitzvah tzitzis, nishkin mitzvah tzitzis. Remeil, it's shat nishlo b'mokom mitzvah. So Zok to Rabbi Chanan, it's nir lo loymar, that machloikis, that obscure machloikis, you have to Rabbi Chanan, that b'kiyas, he dug up a sefer Eshkol, and dug up 2 days in Rishonim from the Ravid's father-in-law. The Shver from the Ravid dug up a group of Rishonim sitting in the middle of Provence in the 1200s, pupling about this Shiloh, about what's the din of a guy, Meshuggin, or where's Tzitzis, Shalom B'chon Mitzvah, is that called Shalom B'chon Mitzvah? Yeah, no, Zok to B'chonin, defining about whether Tosfos is right or not, and give him an elf. Azara B'chonin connected the two dots. So B'chonin was so excited about this discovery. When you're so excited, where do you go? You go tell your Rebbe. Who did he go to? He ran to Reb Chaim. B'chonin had two Rebbeim. Reb Chaim and Reb Chaim were two primary Rebbeim. And Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon also was early when he was younger already. He went to Reb Chaim Briska and he told Reb Chaim the Shtichel Torah. And unfortunately, Reb Chaim told him he wasn't correct. He said that's not what the Sefer Eshkol's Rishonim are fighting about. They're fighting about something entirely different. So hopefully, Mitzvah tomorrow, we have to find out. Stay tuned. What were they fighting about according to Reb Chaim? And how is that going to impact the Nav Tosfos? And where do we go from here? So I don't know if we can live with the suspense for 24 hours, but hang in there, everybody. Say, hopefully that's Shem tomorrow. Okay, now the question is, what time are we going to continue tomorrow? That's our latest assumption.
11:30.